Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, and you're listening to Carpe Diem, Dr. Lorraine Goodwin. The show tonight will last approximately 15 minutes, and I hope you're having a wonderful night. Here we are, just before Thanksgiving, whatever that means to you. For many people, it might have good memories of being with your family through your childhood up to the present, and an opportunity to go back with your parents and all your relatives as may be available, and reminisce and just kind of rebond and share good stories, good times, and feel connected again with your family. For others, the family won't be there. Maybe your relatives have passed on, or maybe you're just too far away to be with your relatives, or maybe they just don't get along with your relatives, or maybe there are other people you prefer over your relatives. Many, many scenarios as to why people don't go for traditional family meetings at Thanksgiving. And I hope that if you do not have a plan, that you try to help others. It is a chance to reconnect with your community. And you can always go to like a mission or to some place that helps to serve meals and help to serve some of the people that will be coming in for a meal, for companionship, for a chance to discuss issues, look for help, and just bond. And that kind of helps keep everybody sane. You know, we often hear of people who go berserk, do wild things, do crazy things, and a lot of times it's because they've become so disconnected. They feel alone. They feel that people aren't watching them. People don't care. And so this is an opportunity to show people that you care. You don't know them. You may not see them ever again, but for a moment, you're there, you're connected, and they have a chance to tell you about themselves. And you might have something you can do to say or do to help them. Don't always count yourself so minimal that you think you can't help anybody, because in your vast experience and knowledge, you might just be the person they need to connect with, and you might have the right words or the right guidance that will help them do better over, you know, next days, years, whatever it may be. So do reach out to others if you're not going to be with your family, if you don't have something planned with your friends or your neighbors. Do reach out and do something if you can, even if it's just for a short time, even if you just go for an hour. It is a chance. I think that you'll find valuable, and you'll also find a great feeling and warmth for yourself doing such a good thing, and a great memory you'll be creating. And take your kids. You know, if you're the parent of a single child and the two of you are sitting there eating Thanksgiving alone, and you're trying to, you know, make it seem like you have a big family, but you don't. You can eat at home and have your Thanksgiving, but then take your child and have them go down to one of these places that helps the needy and spend a few minutes, you know, maybe even just 15 minutes, and give them an opportunity to see what kinds of conditions people are living in, and also to see that they can, even as a child, reach out and help on Thanksgiving, and of course for Christmas too. So, and other times during the year, but these are just two times that we tend to focus on this. But of course these needs are there every day, all year round, and will probably be there for all of our lives. The one thing I was mentioning for this particular talk on night before Thanksgiving was probably even appropriate, about the boy, the young kid who was asked to do an assignment. He made a clock and brought it in. The teacher thought it was a bomb, and he was arrested but never charged, but the police did take him in to check it out. To me, it looked like a bomb. It looked like a regular suitcase bomb that you might see from the mafia or for some gang, and, you know, I've seen it over and over again in TV movies, television shows. It looked like a timing device that would be used to set up a bomb. I think the teacher had a valid reason. And if my child went to that school and the teacher did not confiscate that and did not take the child in for questioning to see what was going on, I would have probably taken my child out of the school because I would not have wanted to risk that they are being so lax in their duties that they would see something like that and they would just laugh it off as a typical child assignment. It was not a typical child assignment, and it was very unusual. And on looking at it numerous times, to me, it looked like a bomb. Just my thought, it looked like a bomb. And I thought the teacher, in trying to prevent a problem, much better to prevent it than to have it, you know, have the child do something in the future, and then you find out that you should have, you know, you knew all along, but you didn't do anything. So the kid was celebrated that with the president, which I thought was, you know, fabulous for him, but I didn't see that that was really appropriate. But yes, he was celebrated by the president. He got a lot of wonderful media and getting all kinds of pats on the back. He does look like he's going to be very intelligent in creating these things. So, well, the Middle East was very interested in him, and they said, hey, why don't you come over here, and we'll pay for your education, and we'll give you money, and get out of the United States. We'll take care of you, and we'll help you with your education. So now he has moved to Qatar, and that's where he lives, and the government over there supposedly loves him. And he is now suing the school, I think, for $5 million, and the city or state for $10 million because they arrested him and did all of this stuff about saying it was a bomb and so forth, but he says it was just a class assignment. I think they were taking appropriate precautions, and I don't think you should get anything. I think getting into the White House was probably celebration enough, getting an education from Qatar, getting him and his whole family moved to Qatar. Who in the world does that? I mean, if Qatar came to me and said they wanted me to move there, I wouldn't go. So, I mean, that's strange anyway. But he is Middle Eastern, you know, which, of course, raises eyebrows of everything. You know, why did he go? Why was he offered this? We don't know. The other thing I wanted to mention, anyway, I think it shows that he really has no real connection with the United States, no appreciation for meeting the president, for being in the White House, and better off that he is in Qatar, and we'll see what happens. Hoping he doesn't come back really making other suitcase timing devices with bombs attached. But we will see what happens in the future. I wonder if he's a citizen or if he's here on a green card. I don't know. I think he's a citizen, but I don't know. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to say is we need to discuss why are blacks being killed and how can blacks learn how to survive. And now I'm just going to mention the one story in Chicago where the boy, I think he was just 17 years old, but police were called because this man was breaking into cars and using a knife and acting bizarre. And so the police came at the request of residents. They found the man walking down the middle of the street, and he had a big knife. You could see it in the video from the police car. It was shining, and it was a large knife. And the man was walking like towards the police, but yet at an angle sort of away from the police, and then he was shot and killed. I think they said he shot the man who shot him, the policeman that shot him 16 times. And so he was dead after 16 bullets, of course. And those police bullets are big. These aren't little bullets. These are probably very damaging bullets, but I don't know anything about ammunition. But the one thing you have to know when you deal with the police is, one, you listen to what they're saying to you. So if they tell you to stop, you stop. If they tell you to put your hands up, you put your hands up. If they tell you to drop the weapon, you drop the weapon immediately. You don't continue on. And if one thing he did, he kept walking, even though he was walking a little bit away towards, away from the police, he was also walking towards the police with his huge knife. And then it was said to the police that he was on some sort of drugs, and the news media is reporting that he had some PCP, which does increase a person's strength and makes it more difficult to arrest them, and it also makes their behavior very, very bizarre and makes them very aggressive and hostile. So the fact that he had PCP in his system would also mean that the police probably had some rights to be more aggressive against this person and have some fears for their safety, because this was a big kid. I mean, it wasn't a little 17-year-old. He was a full-grown, man-sized kid. And kids do crazy stuff anyway. So when you're dealing with someone who's big, who has a huge knife, and he's a teen, you really don't know where he's going to go. You don't know what's going through his mind. So the next thing is, of course, don't be out there robbing cars, and don't be out there on PCP. That would also help you to survive in the street. And the other thing you have to realize, when you deal with police, you don't argue. You know, a lot of people, I think I've seen pictures of people going up to the police, going face-to-face and arguing. The police do not want your bad breath in their face, and they do not want to argue with you. They're just doing their job. They're doing another 8 hours or 10-hour or 16-hour shift, and they just want to go through the day and go home to their family. So they don't want to be yelling and have some strange person in their face, and especially acting aggressively and offensively. So do not get into the face of a policeman arguing. Even though you might be very hostile to what they're saying, that is not the place or time to try to challenge a policeman. Policemen are, and it took me a long time to understand this, policemen are trained that when they pull out their guns, they are intending to shoot, and if they intend to shoot, if they do shoot, they intend to kill. They are not looking to wound you. They are not looking to cut, to hit your leg or your knee or your thigh or your arm. They are intending to hit you in your head or give you a big chest bullet, and you will be dead. They want you dead if they shoot. So that's what people have to understand. When you engage a policeman, if he's getting his gun out, he is thinking he is going to kill you, and if he does shoot, you are going to be dead. So the question here is, people say, I don't know where the first bullet hit this kid, but if the policeman shot at him, he intended to kill him, and if he shot him 15 more times, can you kill them more than once? So if the first bullet killed the kid, can the extra 15 bullets kill the kid even more, or does the person suffer even more than with one bullet? Probably suffers less if the bullet, didn't totally kill him. The second bullet probably would have, and the other bullets probably would not have even been felt by the individual because he would have been dead by that time. So I think the policeman has some legs to stand on in court because of the knife, because of the person was walking towards the police, because he was on PCP. And he was not following any directions or orders that were given him. And because of the way the call came in, you know, that the person appeared to be acting bizarre, and they thought he was on drugs, and they thought he was a threat. It was excessive use of guns, and probably the person does not need to be using guns, because clearly overexcited, overactive, overshooting. But as far as murder, he was going to murder him anyway, and because that was his intent in shooting in the first place. He didn't shoot to kill, and the extra shots would not have been like a second murder or a third murder. So I don't think he should be tried in the public. I don't think he should be tried by the press. I don't think he should be tried on television. I don't think his bosses should say anything. I think everyone needs to be quiet and let him have his day in court, and then we'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's how I see it, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you have fun with your family. I hope you're with people you love and people who love you, no matter where you are. And I will talk to you at least the day after Thanksgiving. Okay, take care, and bye-bye.